As we were preparing for this sermon, my dad had the bright idea that I should tell a joke at the beginning. He gave me this joke, so if it's bad, please blame it on him. He deserves it, and it probably will be bad. Anyway, here it goes. A teacher once asked the students to name the four seasons. One boy piped up and said football, basketball, baseball, and vacation. Tough crowd. Okay, this joke did have a point. There's a football season, basketball season, baseball season, and a summer vacation. I've gone through the first three, and now summer vacation is coming. Of course, since Dad is on the coaching staff for football, my summer will probably be full of conditioning for the season. But we should be able to have some fun along the way. When thinking about life, we have different seasons that we experience. Some seasons are easier than others, but by the end of every season, we can look back and see when we were close to God, and also see when we were not as close as we should have been. Along with that, we can see the moments when we prayed and God heard the prayers. In today's psalm, we will see several prayers from the writer as he seeks God's help for whatever he is experiencing in life. Please turn to Psalm 28. That is page 460 in your Pew Bible. Again, that is Psalm 28. Psalm 28 can be easily called the Psalm of Prayer and Praise. Unfortunately, the context is not as easily learned as the text does not give reference to anything specific. What we can see is that the general idea of the psalm is that the writer was struggling in life and he was afraid that God may have turned away from him. This is the struggle that we can relate to because there are plenty of times when we struggle in life and wonder if God is really listening when we pray. Psalm 28, verses 1 through 9. To you, O Lord, I call, my rock, do not be deaf to me. Lest if you be silent to me, I will become like those who go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy, when I cry out to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward your most holy sanctuary. Do not drag me off with the wicked, with the workers of evil, who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their hearts. Give them according to their work and according to their evil deeds. Give them according to the work of their hands and render them due their reward. Because they do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the work of his hands, he will tear them down and build them up no more. Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield, and my heart trusts. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults. And with my song I give thanks to him. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of the anointed. O save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you that we can be here today so that we may learn more about you. Help this sermon to go well. Please help us to listen to you speak through the word that we are about to speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we look at this psalm from a bird's eye view, I can see a blueprint for how we are supposed to be when establishing a healthy prayer life. The main message is that when we pray, the Lord gives us strength. When we pray, the Lord gives us strength. This writer shows us how to pray so that we can receive that strength. And what we see here in the first three verses is that we don't stop calling. We continue on. We need to know who we are asking. The opening words are emphatic. To you I call. Could be said to you and you only. He's focusing on the Lord. The writer calls God his Lord and his rock. The reference to Lord means that God has the authority over his life. This is the same as when we talk about Jesus being our Lord and Savior. He saved us from our sins, but he is also Lord, which means he should have the authority over our lives. I use the word should because it doesn't always work out that way. Sometimes we have a hard time letting God be in charge of our lives. The reference to God being a rock is common in Psalms. the word used for rock is not used for a pebble. This is more of a boulder, a giant rock that would take several people to move. This is the kind of rock that would form a mountain, much like that huge rock near Atlanta, Georgia, that we call Stone Mountain. This is a heavy rock that is capable of protecting those who hide behind it, or, if there's a cave cut out, protect those who are in it. This gives the image of a refuge, which is fitting because the writer sees God as a refuge, where he can be protected from the harshness of life during his struggles. God is our rock that can protect us as we go through life. Well, after establishing who you are talking to, you got to be specific with your request. Although God knows what we need when we need it, we are still responsible for asking to receive it. I remember being a quartermaster for summer camp when I was in Boy Scouts, and my job was to make sure that the troops had everything they needed for the week. I had plenty of supplies available, but I could not give anything out until the troops asked for them. In the same way, God has everything we need to keep from becoming weak, but it is up to us to ask for what we need. We have to be specific with our requests, much like the writer of this psalm. The writer says that he wants God to hear his pleas for mercy. He is lifting up his hands, which means that this is a much deeper prayer. He's focusing on talking to God and trying to get his attention because the struggle is tough and he feels like God is not listening. I know I've mentioned this before, that it is okay to feel like God is not listening. Sometimes when we are struggling, it is hard to see God work. I believe that this is why God does not get upset when people question his ability. Of course, after the prayer, the people know that God is there.
In verse 3, we see that the writer is saying be earnest when praying. The word earnest means sincere, on the same on the inside as the outside. This is not what the workers of evil were. They spoke peace with their neighbors while evil was in their hearts. It would be like the local politician who walks through the neighborhood during election season and shakes the hands of all the people. He smiles and promises the world if they vote for him. But what happens when he gets into office? His true colors will shine through. Those promises become irrelevant to him just because he was being a poser long enough to get the power that he wanted. Instead, we need to be real with God. We need to be real with our neighbors. We need to be real with ourselves and stop playing games. When we pray, we are talking to a real God who can handle our real problems. So we should speak the real truth from our hearts. In Psalm 28, verses 4 through 6, we see a butterfly effect. Give to them according to their work, and according to their evil deeds. Give them according to the work of their hands. Render them their due reward. Because they do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the works of his hands, he will tear them down and build them up no more. Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. This writer is describing a phenomenon known as the butterfly effect. Basically, the idea is that if a butterfly flaps its wings on one side of the world, a ripple effect goes through the world and makes something happen as a result. I personally am not sure about all of that, but I do know the phrase, what goes around, comes around. And here's what the writer is talking about. When praying, you should own up to you what you are doing. He wants God to give according to the work performed, which can be scary if you are not doing good works. When praying, you should be ready to admit when you mess up. Own up to your mistakes and have the confidence that you are doing what is right.
You know, God is paying attention. Deuteronomy 32 is known as the Song of Moses, and it is written at the end of his life. The Israelites finished their wandering through the wilderness and were finally ready to enter the Promised Land. In verse 11, there is an image of an eagle holding its young on the pinions, which are wings, releasing them to either fly or drop. It's time to move out. The eagle stays close just in case the young need help, but they're fleeing the nest and it's time to go. The Israelites are now getting ready to go into the promised land. It's time to either fly or drop, but God stays close. You see, God holds us until we grow to the point where we can walk on our own, but then he stays close just in case we need him. God is paying attention to us. God is only a prayer away. Let's jump back to Psalm 28 again, and let's finish up 7 through 9. We'll go ahead and read again to refresh us. Verse 7, it says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever."
This is where the writer concludes that the Lord is the source for strength. The Lord is stronger than anything on earth, even one of the most powerful villains in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Thanos the Mad Titan. You see, he became so in love with the concept of death that he was willing to sacrifice his own planet in order to kill half of the universe for the sake of balance. The Avengers, Earth's mightiest heroes, failed to stop him because they were too weak. Captain America did start strong because he stopped the hand of Thanos, which surprised him. But Thanos used his other hand to slap Captain America out of the way. The strongest Avenger, the Hulk, was trapped in his alter ego, Bruce Banner. He teamed up with Iron Man in a megasuit to smash Thanos, but he used an Infinity Stone to trap him inside of a mountain. Thor had his hammer and aimed right at his heart, but Thanos just laughed and said that he should have gone for his head. He snapped his fingers and won. He was victorious over the best of the best the world could offer. But the Lord would have won against Thanos. The hand of Thanos could have hurt the Avengers, but the hand of God could restore their strength. The magnificent tactical mind of Thanos made it hard for the Avengers to gain the upper hand, but the mind of God created the universe that Thanos tried to destroy. And with the 6 Infinity Stones working together, Thanos was able to kill half of the universe with the snap of his fingers. But when God rolled that stone away on Easter morning, God defeated the most powerful weapon available and brought Jesus back to life in order to save the universe from the devil. God wins against Thanos. The Lord is also stronger than the Hulk. The Hulk is considered to be the strongest Avenger because the angrier he gets, the stronger he becomes. When he is at his best, he yells Hulk smash and destroys everything in his way. However, when God gets angry, his strength is strong enough to smash the earth and cause water to rise from the ground and rains to come down, and the whole earth is flooded. God's wrath is powerful. But God has control over his anger. One of the Hulk's greatest weaknesses is that whenever he gets so angry, he loses control of his actions. He has a blind rage that destroys whatever comes close to him, even if it is something he loved. But God isn't like that. He can control his rage even when he is angry with the world. He still provided a way for man to be saved. He gave Noah and his family time to build an ark and save mankind so that they could rebuild after the flood. He also controlled his anger against sin by providing a way for us to be cleansed from all unrighteousness through the blood of Jesus. In Romans 6, we are told that we can connect to the blood of Jesus by burying our old life of sin in the watery grave called baptism. After that, we are raised to walk in a new life, and as we are given 2 gifts. The first gift is the forgiveness of sin, so we can make it to heaven and be with him. The second gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit, so it can become better while living on the earth. As long as we work towards living the way God wants us to live, we can count on the Holy Spirit to help us grow.
We also know that the Lord is our safety chain. Let's check this out. got a few pictures here that I got from my brother Mike, a story that he shared with me. This is a picture from the internet. It's an article about a couple who got saved by their safety chains. Let me just read a little bit of the article that was written. It says, when trucker Rod Drury pulled up to the weekend camper on the Mallard Gorge Bridge on I-84 near the Snake River in southern Idaho on Monday afternoon, he was sure it was the scene of a fatality. It was almost was. As he approached the wreck, he realized the over the edge of the bridge, still attached to the camper only by the trailer safety chain, was a Ford F-350 pickup dangling nose down over the gorge. Inside was the 67-year-old driver and his 64-year-old wife from Garden City, Idaho, along with their two small dogs. An Idaho state trooper arrived as Drury did, and other first responders arrived quickly after. Together, they anchored more chains from the pickup to Drury's big rig. A rappelling team from Magic Valley Paramedics Special Operations Rescue Team made its way down to the truck. They attached harnesses to the occupants and got them back to the bridge deck. The couple suffered non-life-threatening injuries and were treated at a nearby hospital. By the way, the dogs were not hurt either. That's a good picture right there of how God saves us on a daily basis. Sometimes we make choices that result in us dangling nose down over a gorge. But if we stay connected to God through prayer, we will survive our mistakes. See, that prayer is that safety chain that can keep us from certain destruction. No matter how hard we try to mess up our own lives, God is able to save us from ourselves. The Lord is our strength when we pray.